You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour two, Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's switch some gears. Let's talk some NFL. As you know, all the pro days have taken place now, especially surrounding the quarterbacks. Highly touted quarterback class coming in. I mean, there's some talk and speculation. Right now, the over-under is at 4.5 in regard to quarterbacks that would be taken in the first round. And there's some talk and speculation that possibly all six could go in the first round. Now, keep in mind, the motivation for a team taking a quarterback in the first round is that you get an extra year of that rookie deal, okay? As opposed to taking a quarterback in the second round and further on. So that's the motivational factor for a team wanting to draft a quarterback of the future and then having a longer time period where you don't have to pay him $40, $60 million if he turns out to be all that plus a bag of chips. So we'll see what happens. But again, the over-under right now is at 4.5. Steve Verderosa, former Giants scout, good friend of mine, good friend of the show. We have him on each and every year as we get ready for the draft. And he was kind enough to sit down with me to talk about three quarterbacks, the top three that are expected to go 1, 2, 3. Now, keep in mind, there are some folks, some draft boards out there that anticipate J.J. McCarthy to go number 2 overall to Washington. But where it stands right now, the top three quarterbacks, consensus, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. My first question to Steve Verderosa is, how would he rate this quarterback class?
Well, I think if you listen to the media and all the hype that's been fast and furious and getting deeper and deeper as we get closer and closer, you would think it was one of the end-all of all time. But I just want to pump the brakes a little bit. There's a lot of really good players. Are they worthy of the top pick or the top three or the top 4, 5, 6, whatever it is? I'm not so sure about that. I've been doing this a long time and have been around a lot of players. I can remember going all the way back to 1977. And being in the Washington Redskin training camp, and there was a scrimmage we had with the Baltimore Colts, the then Baltimore Colts, and you got up close and saw Burt Jones throw the football. Now that was elite. Then 10 years later, I'm a rookie scout with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1987, and we have a guy in training camp that was the first overall pick in Vinny Testaverde. You want to talk about throwing the football. Those guys were unbelievably elite. I mean, Vinny took your breath away. And so I try to temper some of my enthusiasm when you talk about these young men. And there's just so many guys that have come along that the hype was a lot greater than the performance. Of course, with the Giants, we had Phil Sims, when I got there, who could really throw the football. Kerry Collins, who took us to Super Bowl 35, who had a rocket launcher for an arm. And, of course, we got to the promised land twice with Eli, very underrated as far as a thrower of the football. He could really spin it. But so there's these young men this year, and it's so easy to say what they can't do, but you want to really talk about is what they can do. They all have holes in them as players, and we'll go over that based on my opinion. But they're good. They're good players. But I just like to temper some of the enthusiasm that's out there, because I've heard things talked about Caleb Williams, if he's the first one we'll talk about, that he's the best they've ever seen. That's a bold statement. I wouldn't want to put that on any young man at this point.
All right. Well, let's dive into it. Let's start right there. Again, we're going to do a deep dive into Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and of course, Drake May. So let's start with Caleb Williams. Give us the positives. Let's start with the good first. What does he do well, Steve?
Oh, gosh. His athletic quickness, when you watch him on tape, I'm not sure how fast he's actually going to run. but his quickness, he seems to have eyes in the back of his head. He's got a strong arm. It's a smooth throwing motion. He shows the ability to throw from all different platforms. And his improvisational skills in and out of the pocket are uncanny. He's has able to extend plays and make something out of nothing, which you marvel at times and are very, very impressive. But those are the strong points for me with him. The negatives or cons, the style of offense. I saw very, very few NFL style plays. He's never under center. And there's a lot of dink and dunk short stuff that I saw that I didn't really was not that impressed with. The other thing too is I hear how accurate he is. Very rarely did I see a pinpoint pass when he's in the pocket or in the shotgun, just set up and just let it rip, hit a guy in stride. The great throws that I saw are the off-script improvisational throws. And even then, it's hard to see that happening in the NFL. On average, NFL teams get 60 to 70 offensive snaps a game. And then maybe you get five or six off-script or improvisational plays. Things break down. Guys got to be able to make something out of nothing. But you can't bank on that play in and play out, play after play. I watched four plays originally, and we talked about this before. I went back and watched a fifth. And of those five plays, 5 games, excuse me, I saw 16 throws that were 30 yards or longer down the field. A lot of stuff, scrambling, running around, hitting guys underneath as they come open. There were seven plays that I saw in those 5 games where the clock was 7 to 8 seconds before he released the football. Hey, well, that's outstanding, but that's not going to happen in the NFL. I wanted to see more things that were rhythm throws, one, two, three, get rid of it, let it go. I thought his eyes are all over the place at times. He gets the shotgun snap. He looks to one, one's covered. He goes all the way over to the other side of the field to three. Then he comes back to what should be his second read. And then he's back to this fourth read. I saw that countless times. That really bothers me. It's just a subpar supporting cast that he had this year. I don't think any receiver that the University of Southern California had that just put a lump in your throat, and the offensive line was really poor. So a lot of times he was running for his life, and you see those things, and you love the improvisational plays. I just wanted to see more conventional plays, for lack of another term. In the 5 games I watched, he rushed the ball 52 times for 38 yards. Yes, he can scramble. Yes, he can avoid the first guy. But ultimately, running around like a chicken with your head cut off a lot of times, which is what he did, is just not going to happen at the next level. And will it happen with the Chicago Bears? They improved as the season went on last year, but that's not going to be the same team. The 2024 Bears, who was their running game in 2023? It was Justin Fields. He has some good receivers. He'll have Cole Kmet as his tight end if that's actually where he goes. But the main part of their running game was the running quarterback. And this guy is not the same guy as Justin Fields. So that's going to be a little bit of an issue for me with this guy. And I don't see the greatest of all time. So I think he's a really good prospect. You'll love the improvisational skills. You love the eyes in the back of his head, the quick release, the arm strength, and his athletic quickness. But footwork, arm angles, there's times where his hips going left, his feet are going right, and his arms are all over the place. And that lends to a lot of inconsistent accuracy for me.
Well,
So those are the pros and the cons.
he's expected to go number one overall.
I know.
to the Chicago Bears and to wager on that minus 5,000. So you for every $50 you put down on that, you're only getting a dollar back. So the odds makers feel pretty strongly that he's going to go number one overall to the Chicago Bears. We'll see what happens. Number two, Washington is sitting there. Many people feel that JJ McCarthy could potentially go to Washington, and then of course there's Jane Daniels and Drake May. We don't have a lot of time left in the segment, but I want to get your thoughts on Jane Daniels, if you can quickly give us the pros, give us the cons.
Like this guy watching the tape on this guy, 6'4", they hadn't at 207 pounds at the combine, not jumping around. My one concern with him was this was a 187-pound freshman at Arizona State. He's not a big bone guy. Is that a manufactured weight? He looks thin on tape. I like his height. I like his growth potential. He's an excellent athlete with tremendous playing speed. Arm strength is really good, and you had to love the production. He got better and better each year. 40 TDs and only four interceptions in 2023. But the running ability is what really stood out. And is he going to do that at the next level? He rushed 135 times for 1,134 yards at LSU last year. He's a big-time run threat. The cons, like I said, I don't think he's a naturally thick player. And this guy here, does he make players better or do they make him better? As 2023 was just the outlier year compared to what he did at Arizona State in his previous year. So this kid played with the best players. He'll have two receivers that'll go in the first round. Watching him on tape, Texas A&M, 24 attempts, 16 completions, Alabama, 15 and 24, Missouri, 15 and 21. Good completion percentages, but he's not throwing the ball 40, 50 times like some of these other guys because he doesn't have to. He's rushing for 120, 160, 130 yards each of those games. So the running game is really big with him. Like I said, two excellent wide receivers, a lot of short, intermediate throws hitting these guys in stride. I liked his accuracy. This guy steps and throws the ball with a nice motion, a nice rhythm. If this guy goes to Washington with the offensive players that they brought in, the center from Dallas, Austin Ekeler, Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson, he could be a really good fit for them. But like I said, not a thick player with all that running. If he's going to do that in the NFL, how will he last is my question. But he's an exciting kid to watch on tape. I thought he was more accurate and better rhythm plays than Caleb Williams.
Washington favored to draft him at -150. The Patriots at +150. The Vikings 8-1. The Raiders +850. Do the Bears surprise everybody and take him number one overall? That's 14-1. Of course, the Giants are sitting there at 16-1 and Denver at 35-1. All these teams needing quarterbacks. All right, we've got about 5 minutes left. Plenty of time to talk about Drake May. So let's dive into it. You and I both love Drake May. I think you and I created the Drake May fan club. I'm probably the president. So with that being said, give us all that you like about Drake May, and then I'll share with you where the odds makers think where he's going to land.
Sure. Well, for me, it's a little bit of an unlevel playing field because this young man I got to see live the last 2 years, saw every one of his home games, saw a lot of him on tape, just about every game he's played on tape. The pros for me is the prototypical size. He's just a shade under 6'5". He weighed 223 pounds, but when you see him physically, he'll be 235 pounds in a heartbeat. He's got a very sturdy lower body. His upper body still is, he's a young kid. He'll fill out. Arm strength, this guy makes all the throws, and his deep ball is outstanding. The pocket mobility, his running ability. The thing that I was most impressed with him when I saw him as a redshirt freshman in 2022 was his ability to throw anticipation. This guy throws guys open, which a lot of college quarterbacks just don't do. They wait for the guy to get open and then they whip the ball in there. That's just not going to happen in the NFL. He has that in his repertoire, and that puts to me, for me, him ahead of a lot of guys because a lot of the college quarterbacks do not have that. His accuracy, his ability to improvise, his pocket presence, like I said, can make all the throws. The cons was he struggled at times in 2023 with a lesser group around him. The offensive line was poor. Two of his receivers from 2022 went to the NFL and both made the clubs and were contributors. He threw 38 TDs and only 7 interceptions his first year as a starter, and that dropped down to 24-9 last year. I thought at times he did too much, and I had to question some of his decision making in that respect. But again, if this guy goes to a team that's picking first, second, or third, they're picking that high because they're not very good. And without a strong supporting cast, all these young men are going to struggle. Physically, he reminds me a lot of Justin Herbert. Tall, long, has the arm, has the movement skills. I really like him. And it's a little unfair with the other two guys because I never saw them play live. Watch the tape. And that's part of the evaluation process. But I stood next to Drake May and I see how he interacts with his teammates. The intangibles are there. I don't question that with the other guys, although some of the things about Caleb Williams that's been in print and in the media, you might think about that. But again, I'm evaluating them as players, so I'll let other people do that. All three of these guys are really good prospects. But like I said, Drake is my favorite of the three, and he'll probably, who knows where they'll go. But this is the part of the draft where more mistakes are made than any place else. And more people in each of those organizations are evaluating these guys. Look, a few years ago, Trey Lance, a top offensive coach in the National Football League, traded 3 number one picks for this guy. And they got rid of him. They got a fourth round pick back. Zach Wilson was the second overall pick in the draft. Wowed everybody at his pro day workout, which was a controlled environment indoors, with receivers that he was familiar with. Of course, they're going to perform well. Kenny Pickett, first round pick, has moved on. Bryce Young, when you watch Bryce Young on tape, he was flawless at Alabama and ran that offense better than other guys before him. But he struggles with a bad team, and his smallish size is working against him. So there's no can't miss prospect, what anybody ever says. I did it too long, and you get too disappointed. We anoint some of these players too early, and we put too much pressure on them out of the gate. It's hard for these
It's
guys.
what we do. It's what happens. Which, by the way, Drake May expected to go to the Patriots at -130. Jaden Daniels to the Patriots at +150, and J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots at +330. All three of these quarterbacks are expected to go 1, 2, and 3. Really quick, Steve, let the folks know where they can get your book, and just how wonderful it is.
Okay, the title of the book is So You Want to Be an NFL Scout, 30 years of stories of 30 years on the road, players and games. Can be purchased on Amazon, on Barnes and Noble, and I think you'll enjoy it if you're a real football fan. It's not just about the Giants. I talk about other drafts, history of drafts, different scouting systems, how we evaluate players, why we got guys right, why we got some guys wrong. Talk about different Super Bowls, talk about matchups. There's a lot of football in there for the serious football fan.
And I'm sure Giants fans would love it. You've got some great Giants stories in there as well. Steve Bertarossa joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, breaking down the top three quarterbacks expected to go 1, 2, and 3. This is part one of a two-part series. We'll talk about the other quarterbacks next week. So stay tuned for that to come your way as well. Steve, thank you so much. Always appreciate you, my friend.
You're very
Still,
welcome.
you got it. Still a lot more coming your way here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks back with you live. It's golf season. That's right. Get ready. Where can you walk a magnificent green with a Manhattan skyline as your backdrop while you line up your next shot, your putt? Maybe you're on the tee box. Only at Skyway Golf Course, Lincoln Park West, nearby Jersey City. It's the finest public golf experience in Hudson County. An amazing nine-hole layout, flowering grasses, magnificent dunes, rolling fairways, offering fun and challenge at every hole. Make sure you visit them at skywaygolfcourse.com. See all that this wonderful course has to offer, including instructions, events, tournaments, and outings. Juniors are welcome. Senior discounts are available. Skyway Golf Course is sure to make your must-play list of the Metro New York golf courses. Go to their website, skywaygolfcourse.com. Reserve a tee time. Skyway features maximum variety with an equal mix of par 3, par 4, and par 5 holes. Landing areas are generous. Their greens are fast. Such well-kept oasis. It's urban golf at its best. Check it out, skywaygolfcourse.com. Again, that's skywaygolfcourse.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Are you guys planning anything special for the eclipse? You guys doing anything? By the way, we got Tom and Harvey who are producing the show this afternoon.
Who's Tom?
I'm sorry. Not Tom. Sorry, Joe and Harvey. Sorry, I had Tom last night. Are you guys doing anything special?
Who plans for the eclipse, by the way? What do people do for the eclipse?
I know a lot of people that are traveling to the, you know, the path.
The path?
Yeah, the path of totality.
The path of totality.
Okay. I obviously, you're not following this, Harvey.
No, okay.
If you don't know what the path of, I feel like the path of totality is something I've heard 100 times in the last 2 weeks. You haven't heard that once?
Oh, how about you teach us? How about you teach the class right now with the path of totality? What is it?
I don't have to teach the class. I'm sure everybody's heard it just as much as I. Joe, tell me you haven't heard the path of totality.
I have not. I'm with Harvey.
Teach
on this
the class
one.
Right now. What is the path of totality about?
Oh my gosh. Okay, there's the path that the total eclipse is going to start to finish. So it's from like mid Texas, and then it goes across the country. And like the full eclipse is somewhere like near Albany, right? So we'll be able to see the eclipse from here, but we won't see the full eclipse, right? Like the sun will be covered, but not 100%.
And there's
understand?
And there's humans.
So what they're saying is like there's so you can Google it, and you'll see like what the path is for the totality of the eclipse.
And there are human beings out there that are willing to take time out of their day to go for this, to celebrate this and plan for this, actually.
Yeah, I mean, traveling hundreds of miles. Yes. It's a thing.
That's insane.
It's a thing. And I want to say, like, we'll, by the time it reaches us on Monday, sometime between 3 and 4 p.m. Just FYI. So you might want to make it an early work day.
Yeah, because they let you do that. They let you have an early work day for a day like the eclipse. Yep, they'll tell you. Yep, Harvey, hey, I'm gonna give you this early work day so you can plan so you can go on the
path. Just text John and say, John, I'm sorry, but the eclipse is coming. It's gonna be here sometime around 3 or 4
yeah,
in the afternoon.
During the K show, sorry, you gotta miss the opening segments and all that. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I won't be able to make it into work. There's a lot of people who still work from home, Harvey.
Who? I need a name. I wonder who.
What is wrong with you today? Yeah, there's a number of people who still work from home. So I'm just saying, like, maybe, you know, Monday should be one of those days that you tell your boss, hey, listen, Monday is going to be a work from home day for me because it's going to be total chaos.
Do you have your glasses or goggles or whatever they're called?
I'm not even going to play with that.
I saw those glasses, by the way. They look like those old school movie glasses with the plastic lenses on them.
Yeah, that you used to wear when you used to go to the 3D movies back in the day.
The red and blue.
I'm not even playing. Because it could do like major damage.
Oh yeah, I mean, leave it to the Yankees to finally cancel their game that was scheduled during the eclipse yesterday.
Yeah, I think actually at the end of the day, I think it was a smart move.
Or not canceling, but moving the start time to
moving the start
later
time
the
back. Moving the start time back. All right, guys, let's get back on track here. First, when we get back, let's get you up to speed on what's going on with the Knicks. Unfortunately, they've lost four of their last five, and they've got five games remaining. Looks like they really dodged a bullet in regard to not having to get into that play-in scenario. I'll share with you strength of schedule, where they stand right now, the five games, all the things. Also bring you up to speed on what's going on with the Yankees and the Mets when we get back here on 98.7 ESPN, the path of totality.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, you got to play tougher, you know, right? Play from a lead. So you expend a lot of energy digging out of the hole. We're fortunate at home to get the Sacramento game to recover and win. And tonight we fell short.
Tibbs talking about his Knicks. Unfortunately, they've lost four of their last five, 108-100 against the Bulls. Brunson trying to carry this team. One-man show, can't do it alone. And some disappointing news this week in regard to Julius Randle because of the shoulder issue. Apparently, he was either on a podcast or doing an interview and had just mentioned that 5 weeks ago he had a setback with his shoulder. Not that that was reported by the Knicks, so not sure if they're going to get in trouble there. Only time will tell. OG is back in action, but little time to get that motor running. That's for sure. Miles McBride has been averaging 18 points a game his last 10, but obviously can't hold a candle to Julius Randle. So that's really, really a big hit. So where this team stands right now, 45 wins, 32 losses, same as the Orlando Magic, but the Orlando Magic sitting in the fourth seed, the Knicks with the five, the Indiana Pacers with the six, Boston, the Bucks, and the Cavs, 1, 2, and 3. So again, this is a Knicks team. They're two games back to the Bucks, one game back to Cleveland, and the Pacers are 1.5 games behind them. The Heat, two games behind the Knicks. The 76ers, now they have Embiid back, three games behind the Knicks. So with five games remaining, Sunday they go up against the Bucks. Did you guys hear what Doc Rivers said? And I'm not sure whether or not you guys have the soundbite or whatnot, but Doc came out and he said, you know, I've been taking notes and paying attention. And, you know, this is a team. We don't travel well. We don't travel with the profession. That you have it? Okay. If you can pull that up, let me know when and if you can. But interesting quote from Doc Rivers, who, of course, as we know, took over the team midway through the season. And they've lost three straight. So is this a team that doesn't travel professionally, even from the equipment guys? I think this is a huge opportunity for the Knicks to win this game on Sunday. Let's listen in again. This is Doc Rivers.
I've actually been sitting back and watching everything, not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. And I've made a lot of notes. I will say that. I won't share that. But we don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. That's something that we can fix. That's something we're going to have to fix.
Okay. Not that this is on the road, because this game is being played in Milwaukee, but it sounds like there's a lot wrong, especially if Doc Rivers is sitting there taking notes about equipment, team, and whatnot. Then the road trip continues at Chicago and then at Boston. Boston, the third to last game of the regular season, hoping that Boston by that point in time will really be utilizing some load management. And Jaylen Brown won't be active and attractive. He's been really their best player since the All-Star break, believe it or not. And then the Knicks come home and they take on the Nets and the Chicago Bulls at home. All in all, they have the eighth most difficult schedule still remaining in the season. You've got the Orlando Magic with the 10th most difficult, the Indiana Pacers with the 18th, and the Cleveland Cavaliers with the 19th. So a tougher go at it for the Knicks, more than those around them. Listen, at the end of the day, do I expect them to finish in the top six? Yes, I do. Avoid the play-in. You want to be as optimistic as possible. But I had huge... I had a lot of optimism anticipating Julius Randle to come back and be healthy. I just don't think that this is a Knicks team that can make it to the Eastern Conference Championship without Julius Randle. I just don't. And not that he's the end-all be-all, but he's an important part of this roster and this team. And, you know, I just don't see it happening. I hope I'm wrong. Miles McBride, like I said, coming in, averaging 18 points a game. His last 10 games has been good. OG just getting back into the groove of things. Okay, I get it. Brunson's been unbelievable. If Josh Hart cannot get ejected from games, fantastic. We need him on the court at all times. DiVincenzo has been amazing, especially from behind the arc. There's a lot of positive things here with this Knicks team. But without Julius Randle, I just think Julius Randle, that news has just been such a huge hit to this organization. So, but want to be as optimistic. I don't want to sit here and be a negative Nelly. I want to be as optimistic as possible. Do I feel that they could win their first round of the playoffs? Yes. Second, only time will tell. As for the Yankees, unfortunately, they lost to Toronto yesterday, 3-0. Stroman had a really great outing, went six innings, only gave up three hits, six strikeouts. Really, at the end of the day, it came down. This became a bullpen game, and unfortunately, the Yankees bullpen gave up three runs. Soto 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. Stanton, I feel like this is a reoccurring story with Stanton. I think a lot of this has to do with him playing in the cold weather. He just, it's just not his thing. I feel like he always has like these slow starts to the season. 0-for-4 yesterday. Right now he's batting 120 and he's got 13 strikeouts so far in the season. It's just a slow roll in regard to him really getting into the swing of things. Schmidt is on the bump for the Yankees tonight. Again, going up against Toronto. Little prop bet here I'm going to throw your way. I like under 5.5 strikeouts for him. Toronto, 22nd in K rate, 4th in walk rate. And Schmidt has not been able to go over 5.5 strikeouts in 77% of his starts. So just not a great matchup for him. So under 5.5 strikeouts for Schmidt tonight for the Yankees. That's how I would play that. As for the Mets, they, as we know, they started the season very poorly, losing their series to the Milwaukee Brewers. They did beat Detroit as well as the Reds 3-2. Diaz got his first save. The team is only hitting 173. So McNeil, Lindor, they really need to get their bats alive in order for this Mets team to have any type of chance. At 4 o'clock this afternoon is first pitch. Again, they're going up against the Reds. Severino getting his second start of the season. His first, no bueno, was not good, going up against Nick Martinez. I'm leaning towards, I hate to say this, Mets fans, I'm leaning towards the Reds here just because the bullpen for the Mets, what's their availability? They've definitely been used more than the Reds. So if this becomes a bullpen game, which it very much well could become, I think the Reds have the advantage. That's for sure.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Who am I?
All right, time for a little fun. 800-919-3776. If this is your first time listening to this segment, it's called Who Am I? So what I do is I have selected an individual who could be anyone. Could be a celebrity, could be a player, could be a coach, could be an owner. Somebody who was in the news this week. So there's that. So it's somebody relevant. I give you three nuggets. We take the first caller. They get to guess who they think it is. If they do not get it, we go to the next caller. Next caller gets another nugget. Okay? So who am I? This individual was drafted in the fifth round. This individual was drafted in the fifth round. This individual's father died at a very young age when he was 14, and therefore he was left to care for his family. And last but not least, this individual is playing on their third team. Drafted in the fifth round, playing on their third team. And unfortunately, his father passed away when he was very young and had to care for the family. 800-919-3776. We don't have any participants as of yet. Harvey Joe, any... what is that? Do you feel like maybe you know who this is?
I've got a hunch.
You have a hunch you think you...
I got a hunch.
Joe, are you feeling it?
I'm going to need another clue.
All right, I see the phone lines are lighting up now. I'll give you another hint. This individual has two daughters. So, drafted in the fifth round... is now playing on their third team, has two daughters, and unfortunately, father passed away at a very young age, and at the age of 14, really had to care for the family. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Anthony, welcome in.
Hey.
You've got four nuggets, my friend. Who am I?
It is Stefon Diggs.
That is correct. I have a feeling like... I have a feeling my nuggets are too easy. So what gave it away? Oh, no, we just lost him. That's not cool. Let's go to Bill in Compton. Bill, welcome in. Did you know that it was Stefon Diggs?
Yes, I did.
What gave it away?
The fifth round, right off, because I'm a Viking fan. So that fifth rounder, I thought, right, yeah, everyone, he's famous for that.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I thought that would throw some people off.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? Because I don't think people, you know, Stephon Diggs, one would argue top five wide receiver, you know, in the NFL. I don't think a lot of people know that he went in the fifth round of the draft, right?
He paid off right away. It was a great year, his first couple years of the Vikings.
So, Bill, thanks for the phone call. Really do appreciate it. Harvey, you said you kind of had an idea. Is that the direction you were going?
Oh, yeah. I had it right all the way.
Oh, really?
That was easy money. That was easy as hell.
What nugget gave it away for you?
Fifth round.
Okay. Well, I'm underestimating our listeners in that thinking that majority of them don't realize that Stephon Diggs was selected in the fifth round, but nonetheless. So selected in the fifth round of the NFL draft, as we know, he's on his third team, drafted by Minnesota, then of course went to the Buffalo Bills and then now traded to the Texans, played his college ball at University of Maryland, but a big reason why he went in the fifth round, like just never had really good quarterback play at University of Maryland. And so his statistics and whatnot never, didn't pop off the page. He does have two daughters. He's 31 years old. His middle name is Marshawn. His brother, of course, as we know, plays in the NFL. Trevon, he's a cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys. And like I said, unfortunately, his father passed away when he was very young and therefore had to help his mother help raise everybody in their family. And he was actually named after his mother. His mother's name is Stephanie. So he was actually named after his mother, which is pretty cool. So Stephon Diggs, which really right there, really unbelievable, especially for you Jets fans out there in looking at this AFC East. So as we know, he was in the news this week because he was traded to the Houston Texans. And so what are the Buffalo Bills doing? I mean, they've lost the majority of their secondary. They lost their anchor on the offensive line, Mitch Morris, and now arguably their playmaker on offense in Stephon Diggs. Now, as soon as this trade went down, I want to say, so the Buffalo Bills to draft a wide receiver in the first round of the draft or their number one pick in the draft is like now like minus 300. So we can anticipate that they're more than likely going to get a wide receiver in this draft. But at the end of the day, this really does open up things for the Jets. If Aaron Rodgers could just stay healthy. I'm not sold on the Miami Dolphins. I've never been sold on Tua. If you go back and you look at their games last season, they could not beat teams that were above 500. They just could not do it. The Patriots obviously are in rebuilding mode. Chances are they're going to have a rookie quarterback. And now this dismantled Bills team, both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, and a big reason, really cap strapped. You know, they really put all their chips on the table to try and win a championship last year. And obviously we know how that ended not well. So now they've got to try to reload. So this is a huge opportunity for the Jets. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dave, calling in from his car. Dave, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to make 2 points. I was only going to make one about the Jets, but you mentioned something about the Bills. So let me start with the Jets very quickly. Look, they've made a lot of great moves. So here's my hypothetical with the Jets. It's week 10 to 12, and the Jets are not on the outside looking in on the playoffs in the AFC. And Aaron Rodgers is not the Aaron Rodgers of old. Even though Tyrod Taylor is your backup, do you pull Aaron Rodgers if that's a real-life scenario? But they're looking like – basically, they're looking like a good team, but they still don't look like a team that's going to, you know, make any noise in the playoffs. Would you pull Aaron Rodgers if he's not playing well?
Wait, time out. You don't think this Jets team looks like a team that's going to make it to the playoffs and make some noise? Is that what you're saying?
I see Here's what I see with the Jets organization. I think they're going to make noise, but here's the thing, and it's historical with them. Okay, I'm a native New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers isn't who he was a few years ago.
That's fair.
Okay, what's the contingency plan the Jets have? Let's say not even hurt.
Right now they have Tyrod Taylor. That's who they have right now.
Okay, so that point. And the second point I just wanted to make about the Bills, and maybe you can give me some direction here. I really feel like the Bills should have taken a really strong look at removing their head coach, and here's why. There was a lot of talent on that Bills team. They got some tough breaks in the playoffs. But he should have been able, a real firm coach, and I'm telling you, Diggs won't pull that stuff with the Texans. Because the head coach of the Texans and that locker room will check him if he tries to rattle that young quarterback. He should have been able to keep Diggs locked in with his quarterback in Buffalo, and he didn't. And on top of that, that team got worse. They didn't get better. Why didn't the Bills take a look at someone else in the offseason?
Yeah, it's a good question.
That's a fireable offense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a good question, Dave. I think the ownership, and thank you for the phone call, I think the ownership group is really committed to McDermott. Keep in mind, like, it's not easy to get to the playoffs. And the Bills, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl, for the past few years, they have made it to the postseason and they are in the playoffs and they typically win in advance and typically more times than not are playing against the Kansas City Chiefs in that AFC championship game, right? It's hard enough to get there. So, and I do believe that this ownership group is committed to McDermott. I don't know all that went down with Diggs and Josh Allen, but I think based on everything that was being thrown out there on social media and things that Diggs was saying to the media, I think they needed to part ways. I think that needed to get healthier on the offensive side of the ball. But at the end of the day, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, I think this opens the door big time for the Jets to really come in and be favored to win this division.